This is Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU, and I'm David Fair, welcoming you to this month's edition of First Friday Focus on the Environment. In Michigan, our greatest natural resource is water. The better the water, the better our economy. Today, we're going to explore the relationship between water quality and economic growth in Michigan. Now, usually, Michigan League of Conservation Voters Executive Director Lisa Wozniak hosts this monthly feature. Lisa is on summer sabbatical and will return for the September show. Our expert guest this morning is well aware of the impact of healthy waters on the state economy. John Austin is the director of the Michigan Economic Center at Prima Civitas Foundation. He's a non-resident senior fellow with the Brookings Institution, where he directed the Great Lakes Initiative for Southeast Michigan, and he's a lecturer at the University of Michigan. John Austin, good morning and welcome to WEMU.
Good morning, David.
And let's start here. Back in 2014, the University Research Corridor issued its Innovating for the Blue Economy report, and it noted one in every five jobs in Michigan are directly tied to the quantity and quality of Michigan's clean water. That sound about right to you?
Yeah, and we updated what they found in our recent report, MichiganBlueEconomy.org. You can look at it. And the most important thing is to try to help us all understand the different ways water and water innovation really can be a driver and already a driver for our economy, creating new jobs and new business opportunities as well.
Well, you say water innovation. What does that entail?
Well, we've got universities and centers of research and education, as was noted in the URC, the University Research Council report. They're already doing $300 million of R&D around solving big water problems, not just for the Great Lakes, but for the world, where we're looking at how do we clean water, how do we reduce waterborne pathogens around the world, how do we build green infrastructure and deploy it, which is a huge global challenge. And so our universities are a locus of talent, new innovations. Companies spill out of this kind of work. We've got a firm here in Ann Arbor that's doing ecosystem restoration and water management and cleanup operations, started in the Great Lakes, but now is doing them around the world because China's got to clean up their water, and Limnotech is the name of that firm, and there's others like ECT that come out of our research community that are doing similar ecosystem restoration work around the country, and that's real jobs and real business centered in Michigan. But I think the other aspect of innovation is there's a huge and growing sort of $1 trillion market for water technologies, products, and services that Michigan's companies, supported by the kind of research and innovation that they work in partnership with our universities, are already exploiting and can exploit much further. Some examples include, you know, Whirlpool, a very traditional big Michigan company that makes appliances. Well, their sweet spot is making super water-efficient appliances so that you can save a lot of water and not use clean water and flush it down the toilet. You've got Dow that are working on considerably reducing by filtering water and cleaning water in big manufacturing industrial processes.
They've also been one of the greatest contributors to water issues and water contamination in the state of Michigan.
So now those big companies are finding their way to be the water efficiency, water steward leaders, which is where the world needs to go. Ford Motor was just announced as the greenest company in the world, and they achieved that distinction by reducing their water use 80%, 90% in manufacturing. And, you know, obviously the public wants to support and appreciate sort of clean, green brands and companies. And so there are already 150,000 jobs in these water technology products and services. And you've got, you know, new ones that are coming along. Algal Scientific cleans water, wastewater, using natural bacteria, and they create methane that can be converted to make energy. So you're finding amazing innovation and new products, new technologies that are a part of solving the kind of water crises that we see. I mean, California is the most recent example of, we've got to help California, and we can, and the rest of the country and the world, reduce their water use. Every home, every manufacturing facility, every community needs to fundamentally reduce its water consumption.
And your contention is that it's here in Michigan that some of those solutions are going to be instigated.
Are already being found,
right.
and it's a huge market for us to deploy those around the world and create new business, new jobs here in Michigan, because clean water, smart water use is really clean tech, one of the emerging sectors of economic growth for the future, and Michigan has the assets in our companies and our universities to be a global player and leader, and we already are, which this report clearly shows.
89.1 WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment continues, and this month we're talking about plans for water quality improvements in Michigan, how that can impact our economy. Our guest is John Austin, and John is director of the Michigan Economic Center at Prima Civitas Foundation. Now, last month, Governor Snyder issued his preliminary 30-year water strategy vision for Michigan. In a very broad sense, do you find that vision is sufficient to ensure the health and vitality of our waters, and then ultimately future economic growth and stability?
Well, it's great. We work together to try to crosswalk many of the recommendations in our Michigan Blue Economy Report with the governor's water strategy. It is very helpful to put water front and center in terms of our economic asset in Michigan. And among the strategies include, you know, how do we finance the green infrastructure that can reduce the water waste and the water pollution of overflowing sewers.
What's the answer to that finance question?
Well, that's we've got to find creative public-private solutions that bring resources from the public sector, state and federal, but also leverage the investment that many private sector firms want to make in technology solutions that help them reduce their stormwater and wastewater. And again, we've got companies in Michigan like Parjana that are pioneering some of those solutions. In fact, Lawrence Tech University, working with companies like Johnson Controls and others who want to be world leaders in water infrastructure redesign for communities and systems, are developing sort of the smart development standards for infrastructure and development patterns right here in Michigan, which, you know, sort of ironic. We're sort of known as the sprawling state, and now we can be the state that leads in kind of smart, compact development where you don't have, we have zero net wastewater and zero net stormwater, which is where, again, the rest of the country and the world needs to get.
So what is the biggest immediate challenge and then the biggest long-term challenge to our health of our waters and ultimately our economy?
Well, we didn't touch on, you know, the starting point for how water matters is cleaning it up and reconnecting our communities to enjoyment of this water. I mean, we take for granted sometimes this reality. Michigan is the Great Lakes state. We've got 3,400 miles of Great Lakes coastline. We've got 11,000 inland lakes, rivers, and streams that are beautiful. And if that water is clean and if it's available for enjoyment and lifestyle and recreation, cleaning it up comes first, because we used and abused this water in our great industrial enterprises, that whether you're in Kalamazoo where the river was fouled for years and years, or in Muskegon or in Marquette, these communities are now reclaiming their waterfronts, reorienting their communities to have access to those waterfronts, cleaning up that water to start. And then there's tremendous economic impact by the kind of choice people want to make. People want to live, work, and play and have their business in communities that have access to the lifestyle around enjoying the water. And you see things like Grand Rapids, you know, they restitched that river back into the downtown. It's now part of their sort of vibrant downtown development strategy. They're even putting the rapids back in to make that downtown an even more exciting place for people to live, work, and play. And we estimate, you know, the economic impact of restoration, of water placemaking, as we call it, where you reconnect your community to the water, the recreation, the activity, is 175,000 jobs in Michigan related to that physical reality of being on this wonderful piece of real estate. If it's clean and if you can get to it and enjoy it and take your canoe down to paddle or just walk along it. It's a wonderful economic engine, and a major strategy has got to be, how do we make sure we continue to clean up our water and reconnect our waterfront?
I want to take you in a little different direction here. By the way, we're talking with Director of the Michigan Economic Center at Prima Civitas Foundation. John Austin is our guest today. I'm David Fair, filling in for Lisa Wozniak on WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. Lisa is on summer sabbatical and will return for the September show. We talk about cleaning up and making sure we're ensuring the health of our waters moving forward. We are building more pipelines through the state of Michigan. We have pipelines that are going unchecked at least reached to satisfactory standards in the Straits of Mackinac. Our inland waters are at risk of algal blooms and agricultural runoff. So we're talking about all the positives. How do you address the sincere and real challenges facing our waters today and in the future?
Well, fortunately, the water strategy and certainly our emphasis on what's important to grow this blue economy include, we've got to be the place that shows how you can grow food. Agriculture is the biggest user and often abuser of water with the runoff. Two-thirds of the water used is in agriculture. We've got to make sure that we create the solutions and delimit the runoff. And that's what, again, some of our innovators are working on in the water strategy, and the governor agreed to a 40% reduction in the runoff from agriculture into places like Lake Erie, which we must make. And that's got to be a priority, because all these economic benefits of enjoying the water aren't real if, it's polluted and if you can't drink it. We need to be the place that also looks hard at what is really valuable about our water. The pipelines through the Great Lakes, which we now are just learning about, probably are too risky for us to too risky to this golden goose that lays a bigger economic benefit golden egg. You know, if that water were to spill in the Straits of Mackinac, that Enbridge pipeline, we're going to do a study soon that will say what would be the real economic impact of that. It would be tremendous, we believe. Not worth the price of having a an oil pipeline that could risk basically fouling pure Michigan and all the economic benefits we get from being a beautiful place to live, work, play, and visit.
Are you finding changing attitudes in the business community towards that end?
Well, I think the good thing, the thing that we are encouraging in some of our leading corporate folks are also getting there is, it's not either or, meaning we don't have to choose between a clean water and environment and jobs. In fact, there's more jobs to be had by being the innovators and leaders and the business models that show how you can use water smart, how you can keep it clean. Being the innovators in those sorts of technologies is where the world needs to go. So there's more money to be made by cleaning and taking care of the water than there is abusing the water, and that's why we have to look hard at whether it's worth the risk to have these sort of traditional legacy, potentially abusive uses, whether it's mining or pipelines, that could do real damage to a more economically valuable asset, which is this beautiful piece of real estate, and also the new jobs that are coming from new water cleaning and efficiency efforts in our companies and in our communities. That's where we need to go, and we also send a message. I mean, if we're the place on the planet that is taking good care of the water, cleaning it up, and enjoying it, that's where people want to be, particularly young people. They do not want to find their lives in places that are old school abusers of the natural resources. They want to be involved in preserving the planet, using our outdoors sustainably, our natural resources, and solving problems like that. I teach this course on the green-blue economy at University of Michigan here. All our young people want to work in sustainable enterprises and water cleanup and environmental protection and clean energy, and we can be the place that leads on that. And there's a great example, firm Cascade Engineering, auto parts maker in Grand Rapids. They have gone into green and now blue products. They are creating a simple plastic filter from the things they do well, making plastic auto parts, that is cleaning water for the third world very cheaply. It's a portable filter. 60% of the people in the developing world who are sick are because of waterborne pathogens, and they need clean drinking water. And this is exactly, you know, young people are tripping over themselves to go intern at work at firms like Cascade, where they are solving the world's problems and doing it here in Michigan. And that's a real talent magnet to be the leader and innovator in some of these smart water and blue economy solutions for the world.
Well, you're obviously very optimistic, and you're seeing some great things, both on the educational side, in the business community, and on the environmental realm. Tell me, what are we going to look like in the state of Michigan a decade from now?
What we should look like, and what we have the opportunity to be, is this beautiful, clean, green, blue playground that attracts people back to Michigan to have their families to enjoy and choose to live, work, and make their careers, and we can be the innovators in the work of tomorrow, which includes the kind of water stewardship, water innovation. We can be that place in the, because we are a beautiful state, and if we clean up and take good care of the water and not wreck it anymore, and we can be the new job creators in these new arenas. And even just close to home here in Ann Arbor and Ypsilanti, look at that Huron River. For years and years, it was sort of a dumping ground, an afterthought. We didn't really connect to it. Now, civic and business and other leaders have organized with the watershed councils, river up, to try to reconnect, clean that, create more access, more enjoyment, more amenities along that river so that it becomes kind of a main street. So there's, it's sort of think globally, act locally as well, because that can only enhance what is already a wonderful place to live and work here if you have that wonderful natural asset to enjoy and play and is reconnected into our lives of the Huron River, which is so spectacular.
Well, John Austin, our time together is coming to an end, but how can people connect with your Blue Economy report?
Yeah, go to MichiganBlueEconomy.org. It's an interactive report with lots of examples, stories, and a place where you can share your own ideas, your own recommendations, your own stories about what our water means to you and how we can be better stewards of it and how we can be a leader in this blue economy work of tomorrow.
John, thank you so much for your time today. I'm truly grateful.
Thank you, David.
That is John Austin, director of the Michigan Economic Center at Prima Civitas Foundation. He is a non-resident senior fellow with the Brookings Institution, where he directed the Great Lakes Initiative for Southeast Michigan. He's a lecturer at the University of Michigan, as he noted. I'm David Fair, filling in for the vacationing Lisa Wozniak. She'll return for the September show, so join me on August 7th for the next installment of 89.1 WEMU's First Friday Focus on the Environment. You are listening to Morning Edition on 89.1 WEMU, celebrating 50 years of news, jazz, and blues.